flood. We'll actually start back in 6, but it's the flood. And it's a story that you guys know as well as I do. But as I was praying over what to talk about tonight and what to share, again, it goes back to God telling me, if you're going to preach it, you got to do it. And this is what I want you to do. And so we're going to look at that calling of, actually it'll be in 6 and then through 7, as we read over it and look at it. And like I said, it's things that you guys know, you've heard forever, but it's also something God kind of just, not a twist on it, but something He showed me this week that I need to be a little bit more like Noah. And so let's ask a blessing on His Word. Father, as we open Your Word now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see what it is You have for us. Lord, that we would just be everything You desire us to be. I thank You and I praise You for each one that's here tonight and ask that You would just bless them beyond anything they could ever ask or imagine. Thank You, Jesus, so much for loving us. In Your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start in verse 13 of chapter 6. It says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before Me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish My covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds of their kind, of the animals after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before Me in this generation. You shall take with you 7, each of every clean animal, of male and his female, 2 each of the animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth, 2 by 2 they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the deep, great deep, were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I'm going to stop right there. Again, this is nothing new to you. You've heard this passage forever. I've heard this passage forever. It's one of the first ones that they tell little kids. But we understand that every culture that's out there always has some kind of story that traces back to the flood. Now, they may come, they don't necessarily use the Bible, but they have some kind of understanding that there was some kind of a flood at some point with even like the Babylonians. They had an understanding that at some point in their history, the gods in heaven had a battle, and because of that battle, the heavens broke open and it flooded the earth. And so they have all these ideas and things, people of different cultures, but they don't necessarily use the flood, but there is a flood in their belief. But you go back to God's Word and it tells us exactly how it is. And so, as I read this passage this week, just going through, because I thought, well, you know, I've been looking at New Testament to do on Sunday nights, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to read. And so I went back, and this was probably the second or third place I read. But when I read this, there was something in it that made me stop and go to it. And that is, and I'm going to jump around through chapter 7, maybe a little bit of 6, the terminology that God uses in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Now, we know what the Bible tells us a generation was like, and so that's nothing new to us. But the term "come into the ark" is the same terminology when Jesus uses in the Greek, "come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the same understanding. It's the same terminology. Is he saying, come into me, come unto me, and God is saying, you've got one refuge, and that is to come to me. And so that is where it all starts. But I want us to back up just a little bit into chapter 6, and I want us to look at some things here, that four things that I get from Noah, because it wasn't a popular thing that he was doing. It wasn't an easy thing he was doing, but God gave him this design to build the ark, and it always amazes me. I mean, I've known it, you've known it forever, for God to say, build a boat out in the middle of nowhere where there's no water around, and we know that, we understand that, we've heard that forever. But stop and think, if God asked you to do something that you had never even heard of before, because they'd never heard of rain, and as far as they knew, the water that they had, it was the dew of a morning that watered the grass, and it had never rained. And God is saying, it's going to rain now. So if I could come up with some kind of a silly word and say, it's going to Uberflesh tomorrow, you need to do this. You're like, well, what is that? And to take 100 years to do what you were told to do when you don't even know what that means, that just blows my mind how faithful he was to God. Because God tells me to do stuff. He nudges me to do things that I know what it means. I know what witness means. I know what minister means. He did not know what rain meant. And so it tells us two different places. In chapter 6, 22, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did." And then in verse 5 of 7, it says, "Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." He was very punctual. It doesn't say that he thought about it. It doesn't say that he had to plan it and because God had already planned it for him. But it says that he did everything God said, and so punctuality was important. Here's a man that's 600 years old, 500 years old at the time. He's somewhere around 500 years old when he's hearing this, and he's going to build this ark, and at 600 he's going to go in. And scholars believe that it probably took about 75 years to build it. And you can trace the scriptures, and one guy will say this and one guy will say that. But anyway, we know that he had his sons at around 500 years old. Some scholars want to say that because it talked about their wives coming into the ark, that they were already adults by the time that they started building the ark. Scripture doesn't say that. It just says, basically, when the ark's built, your sons and their three wives are going to enter with you. It doesn't say that they were already married at the time, but some scholars take that as saying that they were. Some say it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't. It's just the idea of his faithfulness that he did not put off building the ark. Whenever God told him to do it, he did it. And I think about how punctual we are when God says, do this. I want to wait until it's convenient for me. I want to wait till I think it's going to be received better. You know, if I share it with this group of people, they may not receive it. So I'm going to wait for a different group of people to share my testimony because they might receive it better. You know, or when God says, go over to this person in line and pay for their supper. Well, is that God, isn't that going to make them feel bad? And I come up with all these excuses of, you know, trying to think why I shouldn't do it and to talk myself out of it, things like that. And delayed obedience is disobedience. Noah was obedient at the point that God called him. It says, according to all that God said, he did. Now, doesn't say he did it right that second, but the way it's written, that's what it means. And he did everything that God commanded him. And so we know that punctuality means something. Because when God says to do something, he very seldom ever says, wait until you feel good and then do it. When he says to do something, his timing is always perfect. Now, When I want God to do something, that doesn't mean that his timing is my timing. And that's the way we work, but that's not the way he works. But I think sometimes we need to understand that when God calls us to do something, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know what rain is. I don't have to have the plans all laid out. I don't have to have the resources. Because here's this ark, and we're going to get into it in just a minute, but it's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high of gopher wood. They did not have a lumber yard there to get that. They had to go out and cut this and get it to a point to where they could build this ark out of it. And so as he does that, punctuality is important. And so God says, do it. You don't need to know or have everything. You just have to obey me when I tell you to obey me. So that was number one that God got me with over the past couple weeks as I was looking at this. But basically, when I began to focus in on it this week, this was where he was at. So punctuality is huge. But then we go on to his next thing, and that is his perseverance. 500 years old, 75 to 100 years of building a boat. We've heard about that forever. We know that probably by at some point his sons began to help him. We know that society around him did not want to hear it. We know that even his other family did not do anything that's ever recorded to help his. His father, I believe, passed away 5 years before the flood. His grandfather, Methuselah, was somewhere between 8 to 10 years before the flood. Or I may have got those backwards. But anyway, His family members were alive for at least 90 years of that building of the ark. And we never hear anything about him ever having any support from anybody else. We know that it tells us in 2 Peter that he was a preacher. He was known as a preacher of righteousness, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2. And he was preaching in the midst of a society that did not want to hear what he had to say. But he was persistent. And I began to think, how persistent are we when it comes to doing what God has called us to do? He wants us to be punctual, but he also calls us to persevere through whatever we're doing. I want it to be immediate. We live in a society where we want results quickly. You know, we started building our house back in October, and I've been ready to be in since October. I mean, that's the way it works. And sometimes we want what God calls us to do, we want it to be, well, God, I'll do it. I'll be punctual. I'll start now, but get it over with quick. Do it quick so I don't have to draw, so it's not drawn out. Here, this is drawn out for close to 100 years. But yet it never tells us anywhere that he stopped. But you know, there's something else, and I had never realized this. Of all of the bigger stories in the Bible where God talked about somebody as an individual, the story of Noah, you never have anything recorded of Noah saying anything. You know, Elijah speaks and Daniel speaks and, you know, Jonah speaks and Gideon speaks. Excuse me. Everybody else speaks. There is never any word of Jonah speaking. He was just obedient. Me, when God says something, I speak up pretty quick. God, really? You want to use, I mean, even Moses, you know, when God was telling him, he'd come up with excuses. You know, it would have been really easy, I would think, for Noah to come up with excuses. But he didn't. God told him what to do, and he did it. And he did it. And he did it for 100 years. And so, persevering, starting when you're told to, excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat, and not stopping until you're done, or until the process is complete. And I think that's something sometimes when God says to me, he said, don't just say, well, I tried, I started. You do it until the job is complete. What has God called us to do? What is God wanting me to do? If he wants me to start it, then I know that he's going to bring it about to completion. And he will let me know when I can stop. Even something that sometimes when somebody asks you to pray and God lays it on your heart to pray for them, you pray for them until God releases you from that. If God calls you to minister to someone, then you minister to them until God releases you from that ministry. So many times we just want to, well, I did something. Now I'm good. I can check that off my box. No, God says do it until the job is done. That's what Noah did. So he was punctual and he was persevering, persistent, however you want to say it. And then he was also precise. God tells him, you know, that all the cubits is 450 feet basically wide, football field and a half long. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, with a roof over the whole thing that come to within one cubit. And do it all out of gopher wood. Put pitch on the inside and on the outside. Make 3 levels out of it. Put a window in there. Put the door on the side. He gave him specific things to do. Why was it so specific? Because he needed all of those things to be just that way, so that when the animals were there, when his family was there, when the water was against it, when the storms came, everything that God had set up would be done exactly right. Had God just said, build a boat, and he'd give him the specs, he'd give him the type of wood, he'd give him everything to do, and Noah went out and said, I'm going to just build this huge boat. And he just built a regular boat with one level, with no roof. What would have happened? God gives us precise instructions. Now, there are times when we don't know exactly what all of those instructions are. Here, he gives him down to the cubit exactly what to do, the number of levels, everything like that. He tells him that the animals are going to come. He gives him specific instructions, but that doesn't mean that every time God works, he works that way. But God still has something for us to do, and he desires for us to be punctual, persistent, and precise in what he calls us to do. And that is something that you and I, or I, struggle with. Because when God calls me to do something, it is so easy for me to find my way to do it. Well, you know, gopher wood is miles away. Why can't we just use this wood that's right here? Wouldn't that be better? And if I built it this way, wouldn't more people come? You know, if it was more pleasing to the eye, and let's don't put this skunks on there, because that people might come if there's no skunks. You know, we have our way of saying that if we did it this way, it might work better. But God says, no, you do it my way, the way I've called you to do it. I'll supply what you need. It may not be easy to do it. You may have to travel to get that gopher wood. You may have to... How much pitch would it take to cover inside and outside 450 feet long? That's a lot of pitch. To get on there and completely cover that whole thing. That's why it took so long. It would not be easy to do it precisely how God wants. And that's why sometimes I'm not real precise. I'd rather do it the easy way. God says, no, I don't want you to do it the easy way. I want you to do it my way. And so he's supposed to be punctual. He's persistent. He's precise. And we don't think about this a lot, but he was so patient. I mean, it'd be one thing trying to feed all these animals and everything while you're in the boat. But he had been talking, he'd been building, he'd been sharing with people about the floods coming. And then God says, come into the ark. And down in verse 13, where it actually says, on that very same day, that actually ties up to the coming to the ark. But there's something that takes place in verse 10. Well, actually, it's in verse 4 first. It says, for after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain. And then in verse 10, it says, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Why 7 days? Why 7 days? Man, scholars have everything that they have it all figured out in their mind of why 7 days. They said that it's allowing those 7 days after people see that the ark is built that they could possibly repent. I don't know that that's it, but I'm not going to argue with it. But why 7 days? When God called, and this is my opinion, my study, my understanding of the Scripture, because God says ahead of time, after 7 more days, You do all this. You get it all. You come into the ark. You bring all the animals. You get in the ark. And God's going to eventually shut the door. And he says, in 7 more days, I'm going to send the rain. And then after 7 days, the rain and the floods came. God warns us. He may not tell us this is going to happen in 7 days, but he warns us of the coming disaster, of the coming wrath. Here, he gave them a number of days. Noah was already in the boat during those 7 days. So here he is. He's told everybody for all these years that he's building this ark because God told him to, because it's this moisture is going to, I guess, come out of the sky and it's going to come up out of the ground and it's going to flood the whole earth, and everybody that's not on this boat is going to die. And he's been telling them this for, 75 plus years. And so he gets on the boat. Nothing happens. Gets up the next day, he wakes up, and nothing happens. Gets up the next day, and nothing happens. 7 days before it rains, before the floods burst forth. But after that 7 days, it came to pass that the floods did exactly what God said. And I'm thinking, how would you feel if you were in that ark? If you'd done all of this, you got it all together, you're ready, God says, come in, you come in. And he says, no, 7 more days before I'm going to send the rain. But God, why are you waiting? We're done, we're ready. That's just 7 more days that I got to feed these animals. God, why are we waiting 7 more days? He doesn't ever tell him. Sometimes God just doesn't tell us why we're supposed to wait. God says, wait. I'm going to bring that flood. I'm going to bring that disaster. I'm going to bring that wrath. It's coming. That tribulation is coming. Why are you waiting, God? I don't know. People say, oh, well, if God was really going to send His wrath, if God was really going to do that, all these years and all the terrible things that people have done, why has He not done it? I don't know. Other than He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And in the fullness of His time, He's going to do it. And instead of destroying the earth with water like He did this time, He's going to destroy it with fire. That's the promise, and we know that. And we know it's coming. And God tells us that it's coming. Why is He waiting? I don't know. I can always remember Billy Graham saying, if God doesn't do something quick, He's going to owe an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. I can remember that for years, he said that. And it's the understanding that Noah didn't need a watch. And I don't either when it comes to God's timing. God said, just get in the boat. If I decide to wait 7 days, that's up to me. You just get in the boat. And then God comes and it tells us in verse 16, and God commanded him and the Lord shut him in. So when he went in, God shut the door. He was where he was supposed to be. He was punctual. He was persistent. He was precise. And he was patient. If we will do those 4 things, we will probably end up being exactly where God wants us to be. Because if we're punctual, we're going to be doing what He's called us to do. If we're persistent, we're going to continue doing what He's called us to do. If we're precise, we're going to be doing it the way He wants us to. And if we're patient, we'll wait for Him to come around and do exactly what He's promised. And so as we look at this flood and we talk about the things that we've heard all of our life, I had never looked at these 4 attributes, or whatever you want to call them, of Noah. but I know I need to be living this way with each of them. Punctual, persistent, precise, and patient. And that's my prayer, because that will have us in the will of God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we just pray that whatever it is you set before us, Lord, just show us. But Lord, you always show us. So Lord, I guess I need to say, help us to understand that it's all about doing what you've called us to do. That we would honor you with our words, with our actions, with our lives. Lord, in the things that you set before us, Lord, may we be good stewards. May we be faithful. May we be everything you desire. And Lord, so much more than we are. What you deserve from us is to be that good and faithful servant. In your name we pray. Amen.